Elliott said after the Arizona game, there wouldn't be a lot of video you'd be able to apply because Edmonton was quite different. You'd take maybe one or two things. Just kind of curious what speed might be the obvious one, but is what kind of challenges really stand out from Edmonton as opposed to Arizona?
Sometimes it's just the way the game takes a life of its own. We would lean far heavier on our last Edmonton game because it's close, and you get into your pre-scouts, and Connor McDavid doesn't play their last game, so you kind of try to prep your team for the style of hockey that you're going to see. They're a really explosive team off the rush, not just with the two big boys, but they get up and down the ice real quick. And I've liked the games. Like, the two games that we've played here have been exceptionally low scoring, but not low chances, right? There's been lots of action going on in the games. Both teams have played really hard. I think that's the hallmark of what Dave Tippett has always been able to do, is put in a nice, solid defensive structure in their game. So they look quite a bit different in terms of when they don't have the puck than they would have in years past. Some of that's just age and maturity of their players. But there hasn't been it hasn't been a wide open. It's been fast, but it has not been wide open, and all pucks are contested. And both teams would have a healthy respect for special teams. Theirs clearly are elite and have been all years. Ours have trended quite well in the positive direction for us. So stay out of the box is number one for both teams, I would think, and go as fast as you can.
Patrick Laine wasn't out this morning. Is he okay for
tonight? Yeah, we have kind of flip-flopped into optioning out the in-between days. So you don't skate yesterday, you don't have to skate today.
Same lineup?
Correct. I haven't been able to say that too often.
No. Very rare.
Well, apologies if it's a little bit off topic today. Could you give an update about Mark Letestu? He's been assigned.
Yeah.
To play this week? And
yes.
Has he made good progress? Is he closer to being
right,
somebody who's you could look at in a week or two? Could you update
him? Yeah. I can't put a timeline on it, and I'm not trying to hide things from it, but this injury was a complete shutdown injury. Right, so I think for the longest time he wasn't asked to get his heart rate over 120 for 6 months. So he starts from a position that he would have never over the course of his hockey life. So he gets back out on the ice and then he starts to skate with us. So the rule for him is, coming off LTI, he can be with their American League team for 6 days and a maximum of 3 games. So that's basically what we've timed here. He'll get 3 full practices with the Moose, and then they have 3 and 3 nights. It's up to Pascal Vincent and to Mark how he feels, whether he plays those 3. And then he comes out of it more fit, we believe, when he comes back to our team, and then we'll just look at it from there. And he's gotten through our practices. He finds them taxing, and he finds the recovery hard the next day, but it's almost like training camp, but it's a 30-minute practice instead of an hour and a half. That's kind of his feeling the next day. So we'll just kind of wait until he thinks his conditioning's back, and then it's the timing and all this. So there's a really long runway on this one. But he's 100% healthy, right? There's no, there's nothing holding him back other than he hasn't done anything for 6 months, right?
Is it difficult, though, if the season's up and running and it's like less than a month of the playoffs?
Right.
Counting on the player and saying, okay, now they're pitching a
game. Yeah, he wouldn't.
Like mop up at the end of the season.
Right. If he's to get into our lineup, you know, even right now, there would be players playing in the American League who've played all year that have played at times for us that would be ahead of him. You know, he's got a lot of ground to cover.
Paul, during this whole coronavirus thing that's going on, how do you guys kind of provide support for some players that may be really concerned about, especially some of the European guys? They see what's happening back home, and they see that back home they're not playing, they're playing in front of empty stadiums, they're canceling leagues, I guess. How do you guys kind of try and be a support system for some of these guys that might be generally concerned about what's happening back home?
So we have, you know, a good number of doctors that are at every one of our home games, and those conversations happen. I mean, they're the ones that explain what the virus is, what the impact is, beyond the medical part of it in terms of the decisions that are made in canceling events, schooling. There's not much that we can add. We just kind of wait and see, and we will trust that the leagues and everybody has, you know, such a stake in this that they're going to do the right thing for the people involved in the game, our fans included, and we just kind of wait and see how it unfolds.
How weird would it be to play in front of an empty stadium?
Oh, it's unusual. So we I actually have slight experience with this. We played, you'll have to go back a ways, but when we were in Greensboro, we wouldn't draw a big crowd with the Hurricanes. No, it's true. And then actually it was a Canadian team. Calgary came in one night and they had snow in Greensboro. So before you mock them because it snowed and it shut everything down, it'd be like taking a bunch of Canadians and running a hurricane through their town. It's no fun, right? So when this, we had about, I don't know what they announced. We heard there was about 450 people in the building. That's a 22,000-seat arena. It was an unusual game, right? Like, the best parts of our game still are driven by emotion. Like, the crowd does matter, right? When it gets going in a building, that energy, and whether you're the home team or the Euro, it drives the game to a whole nother level. You just see it in playoffs, right? I know there's a different thing on the line, but the buildings are wired in playoffs, and that goes right into the players' legs. There's better communication on the ice because you can hear everything that's said. Maybe that's the positive, right? That winger knows where his centerman is at all times, but it's certainly something I hope we don't get to, but it's unusual.
Did you have to watch your choice of words on the bench?
I was asked.
450 people could hear what you're saying?
I was asked to by the linesman fairly early on, yeah. And he was right. And he didn't have to come over to the bench to say it. He just kind of said it. Hey, Paul. Yeah.
Coaches and teams are trying to focus and insulate the dressing room from a bunch of outside influence at this time of year.
Right.
But this coronavirus thing, that's got to be impossible. How do you walk that line?
I don't bring it up. The players are going to have a conversation about something. There's always something going on in NHL. Right? There's always a topic. This one's got everybody involved. But I haven't necessarily addressed it. I haven't come in and said, hey guys, don't talk about it. Or, I mean, we have the direction from the NHL and the NHLPA that's posted. Everybody's aware. We have had our doctors around, and they'll sit around and talk about it all day long with the players if they want to know about that. That's kind of their outlet and their conduit. These guys are how do you keep your kids off their phones? You don't. And these guys are wired to all this, right? They know what's going on around the world. Every one of those players in the rooms is more educated on this than I am. I've just decided to let all the people that are in charge of this let me know what I should do. I don't know if I have a good answer for you, Mark, because it is unique. Like, I'm not saying it's like your standard operating procedure, because everybody is talking about it now, and as you know, my youngest university just shut down today, so that's, my wife's really happy about that. Those are things now, these things coming forward that you have never dealt with before. How do you deal with them? If we feel we need to have a conversation about it, we will. As soon as there's a directive from the league that it's not something you post on the board that has to be spoken about, we'll do that.
Paul, Dave Tippett said earlier today that as a Western Canadian guy, he loves to see not just his team, obviously, but the Flames, the Canucks, the Jets kind of all competing, and, you know, like the old Smythe Division days. Is it just a thing fans care about, or is it good for hockey in this country to have four really healthy, vibrant Canadian franchises here all kind of duking it out?
I think it's really good. Coaches cover the league, but I'm always, and maybe it's just a function of living in Canada, I will read far more on the Canadian teams than I will on the U.S. teams, because we deal with a different set of things. So I'm watching what the other coaches are saying. How do they handle their media? It's a different animal up here, which there's more intense coverage, and that means there's a reason for that, is that the fans are wired into the Canadian teams, right? Everybody... the occasional time I'll read an article and the comments are there, you don't have to open them up. You know, they rip on each other pretty good, right? They're fans of their home team. And this is really good for the game in Canada. I think the fans are far more wired to it. You'll stay on and watch it, you know, and a Calgary-Edmonton game for sure, if that's the late game over games in the States, for sure.
Never read the comments.
No. But comments. I will say Winnipeg fans are pretty funny. There's some good stuff. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Last game against Edmonton was tight. There was a lot of special teams focused on things like this. So how do you take last game against Edmonton?
Well, the effect of the special teams, it wasn't like there were 10 penalties. They just scored two of them, right? That was the difference in the game for us. But there was lots of action, I think, on our end. We liked our 5-on-5 game in that, and then we would like to continue doing some of those. We think it's transferable. The things that we liked about our 5-on-5 game, we would say that we liked in our other games around Edmonton, so it's not a function of them. We liked where we're going with our game. We like where we're going with our offensive game. We're starting to get on the right side of expected goals, as you would know. Like, our analytics have trended much better in the last 10-game block, but certainly since the break. So we, we don't have Connor McDavid rules, but we're certainly aware of the elite. We have two of those guys in the lineup. You have to be aware of that, but you're still pretty darn focused on your own team because we have to replicate the game that we played last game every night.
Paul, has it changed when Smith plays goal and another goal he plays, considering how well he handles the puck and you want to forecheck hard, but he gets to every puck?
Right. So we have a little bit of history, not just with him, but that idea, because when Pekka Rinne was in the net for Nashville, and we see them so much, he was almost as, not as bold with the puck or where he'll put it up the middle. So we have routes that we want to run on that, but the first part is, I mean, can you do a good enough job not letting him touch the puck? That's kind of priority one. And then when he does, take away the most dangerous options that he has and come back to the bench and the quality. Coach will tell you not to put the puck in there. So we just try to manage the puck better, keep him out of that element of his game.
What's it like to try to defend a power play with three quarterbacks?
Yeah, a lot of power plays, and the other end of extreme with a really good power play is, you know where everybody in Washington is going to be, and that's not changing, right? But with the lefties, and certainly if up top, and they can all rotate into a different position. They do different things. You see Leon Draisaitl's got a completely different slot presence than anybody else, so he'll sit back to the tender and spin on that puck. So there are some unique things that are there for them. But at the end of the day, you're either on them or you're not. It's the gray area that kills you. It's you are either full pressure or you've got to do a real good job in those lanes, which is probably a truism of all penalty kill. We were off it just slightly. Mentally, we were right in our game here in what we did. But I thought our penalty kill looked like we were playing whatever it was, 9-16. Like that was the end of a tough run for us in here, and I thought we were off at a half step, and that's all I needed.